It's a Black and Irish podcast recorded live at the BT Young Scientist Exhibition.
This is the biggest regret of my entire life, right? She wanted to send me to the Girl Talk again, right? So I was like, yeah, I'm going to the Girl Talk this summer. This is great. And my girlfriend at the time didn't want me to go, right? Because she couldn't spend 3 weeks apart from me. So she wrote me this big letter, yeah, saying, please don't go to the Girl Talk. Like, I won't be able to last 3 weeks. So and my parents were pleading with me.
Being like, go.
Please go to the Girl Talk. Like, it's great for you. And I was like, nah. My girlfriend wants me to stay for three, like, she won't be able to last 3 weeks without me. I'm like 14.
Hi there, we are back with another episode of the podcast. I'm Kenny, and this time I am joined by Leon and Amanda, and we're going to explore, debate, and discuss our experience with education in Ireland.
I went to St. Mark's Community School. It was a pretty cool school, good teachers. I enjoyed it.
Where's St. Mark's, actually?
It's in Tallaght.
Tallaght.
Yeah, so...
Yup, Tallaght.
No, it was definitely a fun school to go to. There was a lot of really cool people there. Mm-hmm. And for the subjects that I liked, the teachers were very good. Mm. I had a good time in school.
So actually, I went to two schools, technically. So in first and second year, I was in Blanche. I was in Hartstown.
Right.
And then
Hartstown Community.
Hartstown Community.
Oh, okay. Ends.
I know, yeah, like proper.
Nice.
And then I moved. Then in third year, we moved to Balbriggan, and I went to the tech there in Balbriggan Community College.
Was that traumatic for you, or?
I feel like it would have been.
Do you know something?
Just after junior cycle, I said that was rough.
It was mad because I think it was the second half of second year. We had already moved, so I had to stay with my aunties, actually.
All right.
To be able to go to school, and then during the weekends I'd come up to Balbriggan. It was it was weird. My mum would drop me on the Monday. I'd go to school, stay with my aunties for the week, and then on Friday, mum would pick me back up because she was still working in Blanche, around Blanche area at that time. So it was a long slog, but
I can't imagine what it'd be like moving school.
Halfway through the thing,
that's great.
I was making friends.
One thing, it was mad because I was lucky because I knew one of the lads. He went to Hartstown, and then he moved in like first year. I knew him, and he knew me. Sam, like, shout out to Sam. And then we met in like the barbershop, and that's how I got connected with his friends and the lads, and like they're still my mates now. And that's how I got integrated into school. And like it was without Sam and like without the lads there, it would have been a harder transition.
Sure. And for yourself, Amanda?
Slightly biased because I do believe that Kildare is the best county in Ireland.
Good share for it.
I went to school in Kildare Town. It was actually initially, it was similar to yours, except I went to, first of all, it was a presentation for first year. And then they built like a new community school. And then they got all like the local schools in the area like amalgamated into one.
Okay.
That was KTCS. Again, like, I loved it. I loved school so much. Like, it was a great time. A lot of the people I would have, like, grown up with as well throughout the whole... And the town is pretty small, so everyone knows each other.
Yeah.
And it's, like, very tight-knit and like, homey.
Most of my friends today are still friends that I met in school. And, like, a lot of people would say, oh, you grow out of them friends and stuff like that. How many friends do you still have from secondary school?
Ooh, tricky question.
No, I'd still be friendly with them.
I'm talking like actual friends. Like boys, like, or girls, like people that would be in your circle.
Ooh. Zero.
I would have maybe one.
That's bad.
Which is funny. I used to have like this massive friend group. It was 10 of us, and we called ourselves the Gizmos.
Gizmos.
The Gizmos, yeah. I don't know what it meant or what it was. Like, it was just
I don't think this is stuff like, you should
say, you're going to hold this for me now. You're going to bring me to
Shout
the
Shout out to the Gizmos. Yeah.
Shout out to the Gizmos, if you're listening,
that
girls.
I think people just... You know, they grow up, they go different places.
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
Like I went out to Maynooth University, and some of my friends went to IT Tallaght or didn't go on to third level. Mm. So I just think, I just found that you grow apart a bit.
100.
But like, I'd still be friendly with them all.
100%.
I only went back to Tallaght for New Year's.
Yeah.
I got to see them all again. It was great. Like, we were able to talk as if we'd never left and went to different ways and stuff like that. Mm. Well, I think it's important that you grow your horizons, that you go out to different areas and meet new people.
What was the class that you enjoyed the most? Was there any teacher that influenced you really well?
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah,
and like,
you could say
that this was a starting point to like maybe where I am now or what I did in college, for example.
Mm-hmm. I loved science. Like, that was actually from like young. That was always my favorite subject.
Yeah.
And it kind of just made it better that my my science teacher was also my basketball coach, and I was captain of the basketball team, so we had like a little understanding. So we were like, yeah, we were tight.
Didn't have to do the homework.
I didn't.
once you put up 30.
Yeah, you know that part. No, I loved science. And for me, yeah, Miss Flynn was just like fantastic. Genuinely like a lovely, lovely teacher. He's one of those teachers like, you can tell that it's more than just a job. Like, she genuinely cares about her students. And for me, that's something that like impacted me a lot growing up.
Yeah.
And like, as much as I loved science, her as well, having that kind of attitude made it something that I want to do, which I ended up, you know, pursuing as like a as an option then in third level. I ended up studying analytical chemistry out in... but which is weird, because I out of the three sciences, I hated chemistry the most, like the leave insert. Did not like it. Then I went to study bioscience in college, but our first year is like a general science thing.
Yeah.
First year of it, ended up falling in love with chemistry, and I was like, okay, I'm going to switch then from bioscience to chemistry, and then study pure chemistry then for the next 4 years. Year one, great. Year two, not so great. Year three, I was like, okay, this is not it. This is just not it. For me, I think science was more an interest as opposed to a career option.
Yeah.
Like, I still love science. Like, I would still like read journals and stuff and read up on like
read
what's going on. Yeah,
journals.
I love scientific journals.
That is a mad
concept what's going on.
To me.
Yeah.
but I wouldn't want to actually just like, you know, be in a lab. Actually, like the practical side of it is just not really for me. It took me doing that to come to that realization, but I'm still grateful that I did it. Like, it's still it was a good experience.
Absolutely.
Learned a lot.
Cool.
My skill was pretty similar. Like, my science teachers made me fall in love with science. So I had Miss Moran, who's my biology teacher, who was phenomenal. She was also my tutor as well. So I did two science subjects for my leaving cert because I wanted to go on and become a doctor and study medicine. And then I did that HPAT and it finished me. That HPAT pushed
HPAT
me around.
HPAT was horrendous. It was so
it
bad.
It was awful. No, like, I got like 40-something percent on it. I like to think. I only found out after I did the HPAT that like it helps if you do courses and stuff like that.
What did you end up doing in college? Just
so I studied psychology through science. I always had a keen interest in doing something with the brain. So it was, I wanted to be a brain surgeon or study psychology. And that was based on my auntie had a traumatic brain injury when I was younger.
Yeah.
So I was like, right. It was always something that just interested me, like, do you know what I mean? So
of course.
The brain and how it functions and stuff. So so I ended up going in and studying psychology through science. How that worked is you do four science subjects in your first year, maths, computer science, chemistry and biology. And then in your second year, you drop two and take on psychology. So I did psychology, biology and chemistry. And then I had a decision as to whether to go forward with biology and chemistry or psychology. And I chose psychology. So that's what I have my degree in. But I was a little bit the inverse of you. First year was a nightmare. I ended up failing my first year and had to go back and repeat it. the whole year. Those were fascinating subjects. Like, psychology is still something that I haven't gone on to like continue working in it. But I'd still be like yourself. I'd be interested in it. I'd read up on things. I think one day I might do a little bit more in psychology, like do a master's and kind of focus on a particular area. But no, skill for me was good, and it ultimately led to what I studied in college. And I do think I use some psychology today in what I do, whether it's in my work or through Black and Irish.
Of course.
I'd love to hear about yourself and how you went on into science.
I did law and business.
Oh.
Like, I was not a sciencey person at
all. But you're a BTU in science.
But I was in the BTU of science. Let me explain. Basically, when we were in Forche, and it was, funnily enough, it was with Sam. I sat with Sam in every class.
Okay.
We did pretty much the same class. So we were in biology, and I used to sit beside him, and our biology teacher was just keen on us. He was really smart, and I was sitting beside him, so by extension, I was really smart, but I actually wasn't.
Smart by proxy.
Like,
there was one time when he said...
Osmosis.
I did an exam, and he saw, and like I failed it or something, or got like really low down, and he was like, I know you just copy off Sam, and I'm like, yeah. He still encouraged us to do the BT Young Scientist, and we did it on like this thing called the plica semilunaris, which is the third eyelid in humans. Other sort of animals or mammals, like birds especially, they have third eyelids because to get dust out of their eyes, or they're flying and stuff. And we used to have it way back when we were on the floors to get dust out of our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So Sam, I think he had a little niece that was born, and he noticed that her eye was more rounded in the corner.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So he had this theory, and we were like, okay, let's run with it. So we went into like a bunch of nurseries around Babrigan, and we just looked at babies' eyes to see if they had it or not.
That's crazy.
Basically,
like,
that, was our,
be this
just, that was our
whole, the corner of her eye was rounded.
Yeah, that was our whole basis of our argument.
Okay.
And yeah, we wrote up on that and we did a bit of research on that and stuff over Christmas.
On the third island.
We had a very small sample size, like 10 or 20. And like, I think half of them had it, half of them didn't. So we Yeah, we just, based on that, we just said like, yeah, well, maybe. Maybe it is vestigial, a bit like the appendix and stuff. So.
Okay.
That's the only signs I know.
That actually sounds quite interesting.
The fact that I remember it, I'm actually so chuffed with myself now.
What was the name of it again?
The Plica Semilunaris. That was the sign.
Plica Semilunaris.
Yeah.
So humans technically have three eyelids, but we don't use one.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's weird.
That's really cool.
Pretty cool. But like, yeah, so, but that was, I think that was the peak of my scientific endeavors. Still good though. It was a really good experience. And even just like coming out to like this back then was great. When I was living in Barbican, I didn't really go into town much. Or you didn't, you'd go to school, you'd come home, that was it. You wouldn't really go into town or see, you didn't know what the ODS was.
What's going on. Right, yeah. Exactly.
So it was a really good avenue for certain students like that.
Bringing it out to like the broader sense of like education. You mentioned like being in Balbriggan, you went to school in Tala, I'm out in Kildare. Everyone from those spaces was able to get into the academic roots of their choice. For you guys, are there any like standout moments, particular things that kind of helped along that pathway? Like, were there anything, or was there anything like put in place to kind of assist along on that journey?
So Balbriggan is cast as like poor socioeconomic area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One thing that we had in Balbriggan Community College, we had a partnership with TAP, Trinity Access Programme.
Yeah. Nice.
And TAP do this thing where they sort of have different programmes to widen participation for students and people in third level education.
Yeah.
So moving to Balbriggan for me was probably the biggest game changer to where I ended up now.
Yeah.
Because it was there that I got introduced to TAP with Miss Anne Mannion. She was our guidance counselor and she got us into TAP, and like we went to summer schools, I think we did a science, there was like a science open day or something we went to.
Nice.
And that was where I got into like the, into law. I did a Pathways to Law program, and then subsequently I actually did the foundation course in Trinity, which is a year-long sort of placement, sort of an alternative route into Trinity basically. You have different streams you go into, and provided you pass and you get the recognized grade, you get to go into any course you want in Trinity College.
Unreal.
And then they provide you with mentorship, they provide you with sort of academic skills, study skills, all these really good skills to help you when you're in first year. So you're a bit ahead of the curve. For me, it was the biggest, best thing that's ever happened to me. It changed, I personally think it changed the course of my life.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. For me, it's something similar. It is just the HEAR scheme, Higher Education Access Route, which is what I use to go on to third level education as well. I remember when I first actually got it, I was quite upset because I was like, I'm one of these people that's like, I wanted to get it on my own merit. But I think it's only when you're further on in life that you're able to look back and say, oh, it was those people and those programs that actually helped me to get to where I am today, which is great. And like yourself, I think the HEAR scheme changed the course of my life. It gives you extra points to make up for your course. And then you also get additional supports when you get into third level education. Like, and that was something that I needed because I was the first person in my family to go to third level education. No one really understood kind of what was required, what you needed to do.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? I didn't understand the level of responsibility I needed to take on. I thought it was the same as secondary school.
Yeah.
I was getting assignments and I was like, oh, it's not due for 3 months? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then I just walk away and go partying or whatever.
The day before.
So that's why I had to do first year again. First year was the best 2 years of my life. The HEAR scheme is certainly something that I'd encourage a lot of young people to look at. I think it's a very strong option for people coming from maybe lower socioeconomic backgrounds or from desk skills to get into third level education. Yeah. I think it can change the course of your life. I also need to share with my mom, who was, like, I didn't want to necessarily go on to third level education, but my mom was like, all right, you're going.
And
pushed me into it. So I always need to share with my mom whenever I'm talking about third level education. But that's it for me.
So wholesome.
I know.
And what about you?
Like, my family personally is slightly different, because, like, my dad is, he's got a master's. Third level education is something that's expected in our family, so that was never even, like, a question in my mind.
Oh, yeah.
It was never an if I'm going, it's just like, what are you going to do? And the expectation then was medicine. So it was slightly different for me. However, just in terms of, like, directing my path a bit more, for me, it was actually this. It was BT Young Scientist.
Oh, cool.
Like I said, I loved science. From first to third year, was it third or to, like, fifth year even, we did it every single year. And just coming out and seeing this, seeing, like, a bunch of people in a room, because obviously I'm from Kildare, like, you're not used to seeing this many, like,
this many people, literally.
And even back then, like, coming to Dublin was, like, it was a whole thing. It was like, oh my God, I'm going to Dublin. We need to, like, you know, you had to prepare yourself for the trip up to Dublin. It was like going to New York or something.
Literally.
So everyone would be so excited on the bus, on the way up, and the atmosphere, the camaraderie, and, like, putting together projects, that kind of thing. Like, I loved that. For me, that's kind of what cultivated my love for science even more. Yeah, so definitely participating in, like, these kind of things. I also did a thing in Maynooth. There was a one for science. I think it was called Science and Maths.
Like,
it was like Maths is Fun. It was like a week or two during the summer.
Yeah.
It was like a summer camp. Yeah. And they'd, like, bus us out to Maynooth every day and just, like, do some cool activities and stuff. I loved all of that. Things like that that just kind of helped to nurture that love of science, so that definitely, like, pushed me in the direction to go study it.
One I did was, like, Pathways to Law, which is this law one for Trinity. And, like, when you're in sort of school and you're like, I don't want to go to summer school, I don't want to go to do extra work and stuff like that, but those things are actually really fun, firstly,
they're so much
and
fun.
They do start to shape your mind and shape your, oh, this is an option, this is, like, Trinity was never in a million years something for me.
Yeah.
My sister, who's a lot more intelligent than me, she was always Trinity in her head.
Yeah.
She always wanted to go to. But I was like, it just didn't feel like the right environment for me and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But going to things like that really helped me.
That's
and
cool.
Be like, oh, okay, I can
see
that. And then Trinity, and then TAP created this community for TAP students where it's like, oh, okay, you feel like you're a Trinity student and, like, You feel like a Trinity student within the bubble of, like, a TAP student, which is which is something that I think a lot of people don't talk about, because sometimes you can feel othered maybe in higher education, but, like, that really helped. And then, like, I think there was an influx of a lot of, like, black people at the time into Trinity, which really helped, again, starting doing AfroSoc and things like that, and that really that side of things really helps as well, like, having, like, a community of people or something.
And shout out to you guys, I won't lie, you guys are really paved the way for AfroSox in Ireland, I'm not gonna lie, because going into college, we were looking at the Trinity AfroSox being like, okay, we need to do what those guys are doing, like, you guys we did a lot of cool stuff.
I think we were just quite lucky that and it's that where a few of us happened to go into Trinity and we were happened to be from Balbriggan, and then we met some really cool people and and, like, I remember there was this one guy who made us go to the meeting and we had to sort of join, and we had, and, like, he literally forced us, like, you guys
have to be there.
But, like, to be honest, thinking back, that's where most of my extracurricular started. My experience with, like, Black and Irish and stuff like that, that's where I remember we worked with, like, the likes of Jafaris, King David, J.E.N.O.L. That's where I got that, into that scene and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's mad how just one chain, like, Miss Mania started all this, basically.
Yeah.
Like,
or
us moving to Balbriggan literally started a lot of this, which is just
amazing.
To me, it's just mad to see
the domino effect.
Yeah, the domino.
If I could just jump back into one piece that you mentioned there, which is summer schools, I definitely think they should get more of a shout out and more people should take them up, because you can find out quicker if this is something that you love or you don't.
Mm.
And it just it reminded me, and this is kind of going a little bit west, so just bear with me for 2 seconds.
Okay.
One summer kind of thing that I want to shout out is the Gael Talk, which is something.
Clash the Connacht.
Yeah, that's
it. Had the best time.
I went to Aaron Moore for my Gael Talk experience in 2008, and I want to shout out a teacher as well, who is Miss Eve Rin from St. Mark's, who basically gave me a scholarship to go. She funded me to go to the Gael Talk, and it was the best 3 weeks of my entire life.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you consider going to the Gael Talk, definitely do. It is absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But the second year, she wanted to send me again, right? I want to confess something, right? This is one of the biggest regrets of my entire life. This is the biggest regret of my entire life, right? She wanted to send me to the Gael Talk again, right? So I was like, yeah, I'm going to the Gael Talk this summer. This is great. And my girlfriend at the time didn't want me to go. Right, because she couldn't spend 3 weeks apart from me. So she wrote me this big letter, saying, please don't go to the Gael Talk, like, I won't be able to last 3 weeks.
So
and my parents
dramatic.
Were pleading with me, being
like, go.
Please go to the Gael Talk, like, it's great for you. And I was like, nah, my girlfriend wants me to stay for three, like, she won't be able to last 3 weeks without me. I'm like 14. So basically what I want to do is just, like, you know, firstly apologize to Miss New Friend. Saying no for the second scholarship to the grad talk is one of the greatest regrets of my entire life. So if you have a partner at the minute and they're telling you not to go to the grad talk,
don't listen to them.
Throw them in the bin. They are no use to you. They're going to hold you back. Go to the grad talk. It's the best 3 weeks of your life.
Absolutely. I second that.
Final segment, just something that we wanted to have a discussion about, a scientist, a black scientist who maybe invented something or has paved the way in a certain area,
yeah.
And
yep.
Do like three very fun facts about them. So if you want, I can start and then we can go around the room.
Okay.
So,
cool.
For me, my scientist is a person called Marie Maynard Daly. She was the first African-American woman to get a PhD in chemistry, which was absolutely huge at the time. Her work has contributed to a lot of how we understand how food and diet affects like our circulatory system. Ooh, okay, that was a tough word.
That was a long one.
Yeah, and like our cardiac system and stuff like that. Yeah. So our heart, like how food and diet affects our heart and stuff like that.
Nice.
So that's huge. And of course, I couldn't talk about someone who's a scientist without them also being an activist as well. You mm-hmm. know me, I'm big into activism. And so was Marie Maynard Daly. She did a lot of work in terms of getting African-Americans more represented in tier-level education. She set up a scholarship in 1998 in order to encourage more African-Americans into chemistry and science in honor of her dad. She only passed away in like 2003, but her work is definitely recognized right through to this day, and like paving the way and showing young people that they could get a PhD at the time, and then mm-hmm. also opening up the door behind her and saying, all right, as many people as possible come on mm-hmm. in through mm-hmm. as well. So that's my person, Marie Maynard Daly. What a legend.
So my person is May C. Jemison.
Okay.
She is an American astronaut and physician. Absolutely mad. So basically, in 1992, she became the first African-American woman in space,
yeah.
after she became the first African-American woman to be admitted into the NASA's
yeah.
astronaut training program in 1987, which
so cool.
is mad.
The other so recent as well.
I know,
crazy.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not that far gone. And like, she was one of the 15. She was one of 15 candidates chosen from a few thousand NASA astronaut.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that was really mad, I thought, she served on the board of directors of the World Sickle Cell Foundation from 1990 to 1992.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which is much really fun. So, yeah, exactly. That's a big one, especially with, like, obviously, sickle cell being something quite big in the
black community.
Black community.
Yeah. And absolutely. The last fact, she had a career as a medical doctor, and she was the Area Peace Corps Medical Officer for Sierra Leone and Liberia, where she also taught and did medical research.
How are we supposed to keep up with this? How are we supposed to get? Hold on. So she was an astronaut. She was a doctor.
Yeah.
She was in the military.
Yeah. She just did loads.
Some people
yeah,
just have it all.
Yeah. And she's written a couple of books as well, and a few children's books as well, like narrating.
Oh, writing children's books as well.
So
God damn it.
She's in multiple Hall of Fames and all that kind of stuff.
That
so.
Is amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's mad.
Segueing on from like talking about sickle cell and everything, kind of keeping on the same wavelength of talking about blood. My person is Charles R. Drew. He was probably one of the most renowned surgeons in the early 20th century. He's remembered as like the creator of the blood bank. So he basically like developed ways to store like large amounts of blood.
Oh, wow.
From his research in like blood transfusions and stuff, that's how they were kind of able to develop the modern blood banks that we have today.
Okay.
And his inventions at the time were used to develop the banks that were used to save soldiers in World War II. So that was like the first time that they were actually actively able to store, I think it was like 5,000 liters of blood. His work literally saved lives. That work led him to his appointment as the director of the first American Red Cross Blood Bank, which is still kind of responsible for like providing blood for the Navy, the military, army.
Amazing.
That kind cool. of thing, yeah. So,
that's so cool.
Shout out
those
Charles
are some
R. Drew.
Really cool people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it, like absolutely. Like, if you, I'd encourage as many people as possible to look up different black scientists as well and learn about them, because there's some incredible people out there who've made some incredible inventions.
That is it for this episode
for
of the Black and Irish Podcast. Huge thanks to you guys, Leon and Amanda.
Yep.
Huge thanks to the series podcast coordinator, Paul Moore at ARD at RTE.
Yeah.
And also a huge thanks to our sound operators today, Tom Norton and Jamie Doyle. Thank you to all of you for giving us this opportunity to be at the BT Young Scientist.
Yes, it's mad. Full circle moment.
Exactly, literally, isn't it?
Full circle moment. Romantic, like. This is crazy.
And love it. Don't forget to subscribe to the Black and Irish Podcast on RT Radio Player, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts from. And we will chat to you next time.